sometimes when somebody says the topic's going to be holiness, we automatically say, well, God's holy, but I'm not. I can't be. We can make up excuses to try to justify that we don't even attempt to live holy. I listened to a preacher this morning, and he was preaching about holiness, and I was enjoying the message till he got to the part that said, if you want to be holy, you can't eat pork. Well, I shut him off. I like my ham and my bacon. And Jesus in the book of Matthew pronounced all foods clean. And when I hear somebody do that, and he had all these scriptures out of the Old Testament, modest dress, I believe in modest dress. Talked about men and women dressing modestly as part of holiness, yes. But you can dress modest and still have a heart just as black as a millstone. So the way you dress doesn't make you holy. Holiness is on the inside. It's a work of God, but it also is an effort on our part. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The text is out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And Peter says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's the truth. I pray, Lord, this morning that you will take this to our hearts, open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Help us to understand this text and how it applies to our lives. And Lord, that help us to understand that holiness is not an impossibility if we follow you. I just ask your blessing on everyone here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about spiritual blessings this month, and we have seen that God planned all of this in advance. It's all God. Our salvation is all from God before he ever created the earth. He already had the plan of salvation in place. He fulfilled his plan through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, whom he sent to die for our sins on our behalf, because none of us could be righteous enough to be saved or good enough to be saved. And it was all God's plan. And this morning I want to continue talking about spiritual blessings. And I know that we all understand it was God's plan. God did all of it. We're saved by grace, by his grace, by his mercy. We didn't do anything to earn that. It was God's decision and God's choice to save us. But the Bible does say that God is holy. He said that to the nation of Israel when he brought them under that covenant with him. He said, you be holy because I'm holy. Well, Peter, in 1 Peter, he quotes that passage. In 1 Peter, he's talking to the church about God's divine plan for all of us and how he fulfilled his plan. And that because God is a holy God, he requires his children to be holy. In fact, he talks about us imitating God as dear children. And as I said, whenever you talk about holiness, most of us cringe, because we can look at ourselves and say, you know, compared to God, man, I'm not holy. And you're telling the truth. But the fact remains, God told his people he wants us to be holy. I see so much compromise in a lot of churches today. They call it seeker friendly, trying to attract crowds, trying to attract people and put people in the pews, you know. And I read one book by a minister, and he said, you know, people don't want to hear about their sin. You don't want to talk about sin. You might offend them. And my question is, what are they being saved from? If they don't know what sin is, if they don't know what the Word says is sin, how do they know they need to be saved? Because we go through this world with an attitude that we got it all figured out. It's called moral relativism. Well, it might be wrong for me, but it may not be wrong for you. But what's wrong to you may not be wrong for me. So you don't have any right to judge me, and I don't judge you, and everybody's going to get along just fine. Well, the problem is, in God's Word, he says this is right and this is wrong. This is good, this is bad, this is evil, this is righteous. And God doesn't change. And Peter, in dealing with the church, talking to the church, he says that we've been saved from the old way that we lived. That's to be saved in the Greek literally means to be rescued. So Peter said, we have been rescued from the old way of life, so we should not continue in it. And Peter wasn't the only one that taught that. Jesus taught it. Paul taught it. The apostles all taught it because that's what they'd been taught by the Lord. When I hear these preachers get up and tell you that you just do the best you can and you're not going to change until you get your new body and you go into the kingdom of heaven and yada, 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 that's not what the scriptures teach. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he had to get onto them because some of them were going back into their old lifestyle. And he said, look, some of you were homosexuals, you were drunkards, you were liars, you were swindlers, but you were washed, you were sanctified. Now that's what God did. So Paul said, don't go back to what you used to be. God cleansed you from that. And that's what I want to talk about today, is our part in this. Now, we've established, I hope, through this month, that all these spiritual blessings are from God. They were his idea and they were all his doing. We weren't able to do it. But Peter today, in talking to the church, he talks about our part. And I know that sometimes when I have said this and taught this, I've had feedback from people, that's work salvation that you're trying to teach. You're talking about earning our salvation, and if we don't live up to these standards, we're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I'm not going to be your judge, so don't worry about what I think. If you disagree with me, I'm not going to be the one judging you. But what you need to be concerned about is, what does God say in his word? That's what we endeavor to do here. That's what I want to endeavor to do, is to bring the word. I have opinions like everybody else. They're like armpits. Most people got at least two of them. They usually stink. But my opinions aren't going to get you into heaven. They're not going to get me into heaven. It's following the Word of God. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? I do. And I've met some professed Christians that don't. Well, it was written by people. God directed people, but they put their own opinions in it, and it's not necessarily the inspired Word of God. Well, that's wrong. I believe that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that godly men wrote this Word as God directed. I believe it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're going to have to pick a side. Either God's Word is truth or it's not. We've talked in here, done studies about other professed Christian groups that write their own books. And they put them right beside the Word. You know, this book is on equal grounds with the Bible. No, it's not. No, it's not. My attitude about that is, the Apostle Paul said, these people with unspiritual minds are arrogant and puffed up. And they write things to make disciples after themselves. Now, that's not what I want to talk about this morning. Peter talks about our part in holiness, our part in serving God. He starts out by affirming that God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Isn't that cool? I put it in my old vernacular. Isn't that cool that God has provided everything that you and I need for a godly life? That's his part. And that's what Peter, when he opens us, that's what he reminds us of. God did this. And he's given you and I everything we need for life and godliness. You remember we talked about he gave us the Holy Spirit. Paul said he did that to mark us, to seal us as his children. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be the one who would reveal the truth of God's word to us. He would teach us the truth. He would remind us of the things that the Lord has taught us. He also said he will pray for us. We talked about that a week ago, that the Holy Spirit prays for you and for me when we don't know how to pray. So Peter is right in saying that God has provided everything that you and I need for a life of godliness. I think that's great, because I couldn't do it on my own. Neither could you. He said he's given us very great and precious promises, that by these we may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, some teach that we are divine, that we're gods, and we just don't realize or recognize our own God, that we're gods yet. That's heresy, church. There's only one God. God said it himself. There is no other God that I know of beside me. You're not a God. I'm not a God. I heard a minister on TV talking about that subject, and he said, well, look, if two dogs get together, what do you get? And the congregation said, well, a dog. He said, if two horses come together, what do you get? They said, a horse. He said, if the gods come together, what do you get? And they go, gods? He said, yeah. Since we're God's children, that makes us gods. The scriptures don't teach that. In fact, that's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They bought the lie that they were going to be just like God if they ate that fruit. And boy, were they sadly mistaken. And we're still paying for that today. But God has called us unto salvation. He has provided the way, everything that we need to live as his children. But we have a part in it. And if you want to call that work salvation, be my guest. But Peter talks about that this morning in this text what we're reading. He said, for this very reason, make every effort. Is that work on my part, to make an effort? This means yes and this means no. Everybody's sitting there like they're just scared to death. I don't know what to say. Yes. Peter said, you make every effort. Now, wait a minute, brother. That salvation works and we don't believe in that. Why is it salvation works? You've already been saved, haven't you? Peter isn't talking about earning salvation. He's talking about living a life that glorifies the holy God who saved you as his child. You know what? Hypocritic Christians, cold Christians, do more damage to the gospel of Jesus Christ than any Muslim or anyone else you care to name. Somebody says, I am a Christian, I am a child of God, and yet you live like the devil himself. That brings charge against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Israel did it. God rebuked them through the prophets, through the prophet Isaiah. He said, I called you to be my people. You were to prove that I alone am God and there is no other God. What'd they do? They wanted to worship the gods of the Canaanites. They still wanted to worship God, but let's mingle the Canaanite God worship with the God of Yahweh, because Yahweh's worship's kind of boring to us, you know. We want that excitement. We want the new stuff. And God said, you were supposed to be my witnesses that I'm the only God. And church, that hasn't changed. There's only one God, and he doesn't change. What he said 3,000 years ago was sin is still sin. And Peter and Paul and the rest of these men point out in their epistles, he pulled us out of that. We are born again of imperishable seed through what Jesus Christ did, through the person and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we're to live that way. Now, am I saying that we're never to make mistakes, we're never to sin? No, and that's not what Peter was saying. But you heard what Peter said here. You need to make an effort. God has done this for you, and he's done this for me. And he said, now you need to do this. Why? We have to change the way we think. When I first came to Christ, I turned the radio on one day to my favorite country western station. Not preaching against country western music, but just out of habit. And for the first time in my life, I started hearing the message of the song. I love music, but for the first time in my life, I was listening to what the singer was saying, and I'm like, ugh. You know, the guy was singing about his wife run off and left him, and now I'm in a bar sitting here half stoned, going to pick up his bar fly at the other end of the bar. A couple more beers, she'll look better, and then I won't be so bad, feel so bad about trying to pick her up. He was singing about adultery, that his wife committed adultery, and he was in the act of committing drunkenness and sexual immorality. All that's against the word. Now, I'm not saying that to boast on me. I'm saying that being born again, all of a sudden I heard things different. I'd never heard that before. I was preaching in a Nazarene church, and we had teens in there, and I told them, you need to be careful what you listen to and what you watch. And this old-timer sitting there got the amen in me. And I looked at him, and I said, while we're talking about music, because I mentioned some of the rock and roll, I said, let's talk about your tear and the beer country music. If you play it backwards, you sober up, get your wife and your dog back. Well, he come up to me at the end of the service, said, I want you to know, brother, I like country music. I've been listening to it all my life. I said, well, if the Holy Spirit allows you to do that, go ahead. But I said, if the Spirit of God deals with you that you need to leave it alone, then put it down. That takes effort on your part, doesn't it? Don't you and I control what we watch on the television? What kind of movies we rent? The kind of music we listen to? The kind of books we read? That's what Peter's talking about. He's saying, you got to put an effort into this. See, you're not who you were before you came to Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you're not the same person you were. So we're not to be like the world. Now, I'm not talking about being weird. Not in the world's eyes, will we? But I'm not talking about that you have to get fanatical and strange. But what I'm talking about, what the Word is talking about, it takes an effort on our part not to live like the world. Not to call good what the world calls good. Not to make excuses. It takes effort on our part. Now, we're all saved by faith. We understand that, I hope. Anyone in this room that's a Christian, we came to God through faith. In what Jesus Christ did, that's why we're Christians. But what Peter say, you got to add to that faith. What James say, faith without works is dead. I've heard people all the year, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. But I just don't think I need to go to church, or, you know, I just don't think I need to change my lifestyle or my habits because I'm a believer. James said even the demons believe in Jesus. So, is that demonic faith? I've asked myself that. If you have a faith in Jesus Christ, but you're not willing to change, not to work with God to change, is that demonic? Are you just saying that I believe, but you don't believe it should have any effect on your life? We're to glorify God with the way we live. And as I said, I heard that preacher this morning, you know, well, women, you need to dress modest, and men, you need to dress modest. Amen, I agree with that. Sometimes I've seen women going down the street dressed in a way that makes me wonder, what are you selling? Because that's what they seem to be doing, is advertising. Same way with the men. I believe in modest dress, but you can dress modestly and be just as lost as the devil himself. Have a heart just as black and sinful as the prostitute. Holiness starts inside, church. Holiness starts with the consent of our will. Peter said, you add to it. You supplement your faith. That's a consent of the will. God doesn't always make sense to me. And especially when I was first saved and the things that the Spirit of God started dealing with me with didn't always make sense. Well, what's the matter with that? I don't see anything wrong with that. But as you line up with God's word as it, by faith, you receive the word of God, you receive what he has to say to you, you have to consent to be transformed, to be conformed. That's what Peter's talking about. He said, look, don't just stop here with everything that God's done to us, because we're in this wicked world. They're always going to be pulling us their way. The temptations of the old life are always going to be there pulling at you. And Peter said, you need to add to your faith. Virtue. Whose virtue? God's virtue. I mentioned moral relativism. There's some things the world calls virtuous today that aren't virtuous at all, as far as I'm concerned, as far as the word's concerned. Peter said, you have to make this effort. I'm not talking about trying to earn your salvation. I am talking about being conformed to the image that God wants to mold us into, which is Jesus Christ. And if you think you've already reached out, I'd like to talk to you after the service because you need prayer. None of us has got there yet. But we're to work at it. As God reveals things to us, we're responsible. Whether it's an attitude, a habit. That preacher this morning started talking about you need to eat a special kind of diet to be holy. Give me a break. How is eating anything special going to make you any holier? Holiness is on the inside, church. It's not external. Now, do I believe in staying in shape? Yeah. You can tell that I don't practice it as much, but I do believe in it. I thought about working out the other day, but I laid down till the feeling went away because, you know, I'm just not into working out anymore. Do I believe in taking care of our bodies? Yes. But that's not what makes you holy. I believe in modest dress. That's not what makes you holy. I believe in watching your mouth. But that doesn't make you holy. What makes you holy? Number one, it's the presence of Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior. Through the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. But I've said this time and again, and I believe this with all my heart. I believe in free will, and God's not going to get you or me in a headlock and say, you're going to conform. That's a consent of our will. That's what Jesus called carrying the cross. You know, when you pick up the cross, you got to lay something down. That's the way I look at it. Whenever we're carrying the cross, it means we have to lay something down. The cross is a death sentence. The cross was a criminal's death, but it was a, you're going to die. And Jesus told us, if you can't carry your cross, you can't be my disciple. What's he talking about? Dying to the old way, the old life. He paid a great price for our salvation. God gave the dearest thing he had so you and I could be his children. And I don't think it's too much to ask when he says, now that you're my child, I want you to act like my child. You know, we learned that this month. God's goal is to conform you and me into the image of Jesus Christ. And that takes consent on our will, of our will. Our giving our will to God's, giving our lives to God and say, here, you mold me. I'll make the effort. You ever have anybody get real snotty with you? Does it take an effort on your part to bless? Because Paul said, when we're reviled, we bless. Oh, wow, way to go, dude. Because I don't always want to bless. I want to get snotty right back. That takes an effort on my part not to. You want to retaliate? The Bible said Jesus didn't retaliate. He entrusted himself to the Father. Paul said, being cursed, we bless. That takes a lot of effort. But that's what Peter's talking about. He said, you got to make the effort. Now, I'm not talking about earning salvation, but I am talking about the holiness of God that you and I have to work at. Now, he put everything we need inside of us. The Holy Spirit's there. I'm hoping you're reading and studying the Word, and the Holy Spirit can bring the Word to your remembrance. God telling you, this is what I want. But it takes effort on your part and on my part to obey that. Faith that works, obedience. We have to obey God. We have to say, yes, Lord. What do we do when we miss out? John said, we confess that. We confess it to him. Don't make excuses. Just say, Lord, I've sinned. And by your grace, by your strength, I'm not going to do this again. It takes an effort on our part, church. It takes us standing off, I believe, away from the world in that sense. We don't accept what the world says is right and wrong, virtuous and non-virtuous. We don't accept that. We accept what God says. Because cultural norms change about every 20 to 30 years. I never thought I'd see a day when there'd be same-sex marriages in this country. If you'd have told me 30 years ago, I'd have said, nah. But it's here. That's because of the fickleness of human beings. What they can hold to at one time and say, this is wrong, 30 years later, they're saying, well, it's not so bad. No, in fact, it's right. We think it's right. God doesn't do that. God says, you shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not covet. See what I'm saying? The world goes, well, it's okay to lie if it's a little white lie. You know, it's okay to steal if you need something. I've talked to people like that. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Well, God understands if two people love each other, even though he's commanded that they abstain from any kind of sexual relation until they're married. But he understands that we're in love. I haven't read that in the Word. I know I harp on sexual sin a lot because I was a captive to sexual sin before I came to Jesus Christ. So I know what I'm talking about. I know the excuses we throw out there. And I'm going to tell you something. It took the power of Jesus Christ to break that chain in my life. Yeah. I wished I could go back to 13 years old and live all over again, but I can't. Yeah. But that guy's dead. I don't bear that anymore. Can I go back to it? Sure. If I choose to. I can go back to that. I can go back to doing anything I used to do. But Peter said, add to your faith. Do you know that faith grows? Our faith should grow. It should grow with us. It should mature with us. Because the more we learn from God, the more we realize about God, I think the stronger our faith ought to be. I've been a Christian 41 years. And I don't have a perfect track record. But man, I have found that God is inexhaustible in what he can reveal to you and I about himself. Inexhaustible. Sometimes I can read this word and it's new. Been reading it for 41 years and I'll come across the passage and it's like it's brand new. That's a God thing. That's what I mean by God is inexhaustible. He can reveal things to us on a need-to-know basis. Now, we want revival in this church, and may God send revival. But one thing that's going to happen is if revival comes, it's going to start here and here. And it's going to take repentance on our part when the Spirit of God puts His finger on some things in our lives that God wants gone. And it's going to take what Peter's talking about, effort on our part, to say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live for You. That's what we're called to do. And then when we're ready, the Lord can start bringing those in who He wants ministered to. And if we will live as He intends us to live, that makes the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive to people. It did for me. There were Christians that used to witness to me that I knew was just phony as a $3 bill. They were Christians in name only. But boy, God sent people my way that were Christians. They were following Jesus Christ. And the conviction that would hit me every time I'd get around those people, just, oh. That's the kind of people we're called to be, church. God first. Yeah. God first. And He's done all these wonderful things for us we've talked about this month in order to save us and to reconcile us to Himself and to change us and make new creatures out of us. But we have a part in it too. We have to consent. We have to give our will to His and say, let Your will be done, not mine. Would you stand with me this morning? Peter said, you got to add. You got to supplement. You got to make every effort. He said, add virtue to your faith, knowledge to virtue, self-control with knowledge, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. You have to add these things. You have to work on them. I got to work on them. Don't quit, church. I know my own experience that when I fail at these things, one of the biggest temptations is to quit, give up. What's the use trying? Don't be a fool. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to be God's children in every way, shape, and form in our lives that we will allow Him to mold us into that image.